Just want to take time to thank you because I won't see you all together again. And I just want to say thank you for all your love and prayers. I'm a lot better than I was last week. I got Sister Betty Sue's bed in the maternity ward. I said to West Shaw, don't go back to Blueberry and tell them Sister Kathy Owens is in maternity. But that was the only bed it was left. And it was quite funny. But I was well looked after and on the way to recovery. So I've got to get strong for Tuesday. I've got to get on that plane. So I'll really be praying this week that I'll get on that plane, that nothing will stop me from getting there. Bobby sends his love. I spoke to him this morning. He's sitting in Los Angeles Airport. He's been flying all night from Sydney, Australia. His flights were all messed up and he's exhausted. I said, just keep alert, love. Keep looking at that board. Make sure you're in the right gate. He said, I'm trying hard. So he sends his love and he hopes to see you next year. Amen. I'll be telling him I saw you, Sister Marilyn. This is a real friend from way back. She came to us in Australia and stayed 6 months, her and Brother Eldred, and we became a unit in God, and it was wonderful. And it's never broken that wonderful cord that God unites us as. And I look at you all, and I see you from different places, really, and I just, my heart melts within me at the love of the body of Christ, that we are, like Brother Bill said, a blessed people. Blessed beyond our own thinking at times. And at times we wonder, what are you doing, Lord? But you know, he's got it all in his hands. And all we've got to do is yield to the moving of his spirit. Good to see you, Brother Bob, and your dear wife. It's a long time since I've seen you. You're looking good. Well, Brother Jeff keeps us in mind of you. Brother Jeff at Lewiston. A great friend of ours as well, and I just love the body of Christ this morning. Sometimes I get quite emotional. Please forgive me. I'm a woman. I'm allowed tears. But no, it's just good to be in the presence of the Lord. And I've been thinking a lot on Psalm 23, and I'd like to go there for a wee minute. And this is a psalm we all love for so many different occasions. When we're in sorrow, when we're in joy, when we're feeling pain for others, we always think, but the Lord is my shepherd. And I'd like to look at three aspects of the Lord this morning. In John 10 first, before we go to Psalms. In John 10. I just like to see how the Lord depicts us. In John 10 and verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So whether you like it or not, you're a bunch of sheep. That's what we are. And sheep are a very interesting animal to watch. They're very foolish. They have no guidance in themselves, and they need the good shepherd to get them from A to B, and just like you and me. And then in 1 Peter 5:4, it says that he's the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd, not you and me, not the elders, not the apostles. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, and him alone will you hear. Because if we don't know the chief shepherd, how are we going to enter into our rest at all? So we've got to know this chief shepherd. And then he said in Hebrews 13, let's go there. Hebrews 13. I can't even find Hebrews. Here it is. Hebrews 13. And it says here in verse 20, now may the God of peace, who brought us up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Do you know the power of the blood this morning from the great shepherd that was shed for you and me? Well, It's a portion of scripture, Psalm 23, I think that we all love so well, that the Lord is my shepherd. He's not going to be your shepherd, or he might be my shepherd. No, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I believe we have to be so confident in this hour if we're ever going to attain sonship. See, I don't say I'm a son of God. I say I'm a potential son of God. I've not yet run the race like Paul. I haven't yet finished my course. But I'm looking towards that great shepherd, that chief shepherd, to have a relationship with him that's going to count at the end of the age. See, if we don't, young and old, hear me please, if you don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, where he's the Lord and the lover of your soul, where you love to talk to him, where you love to speak to him, where you take your cares and your burdens and your worries to you, how are you going to hear him in that day at the swelling of the Jordan? How are you going to hear him when the Jordan's swelling and raging? And that's where the world's coming to today, isn't it? It's raging. It's swelling. And if we don't know that relationship, he says, don't go back into the house because you're not going to find him. You're going to have to know him with such confidence in your heart. Hallelujah. So here's the love of God for his people. And he sends comfort for every situation, I believe. Those who are grieving for a loved one, how do they go over that grief? Only by the good and great shepherd. He's the only one that can take you through whatever your grief might be. But as we go on, I just like to read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, all of us feel the sting of this life. We all feel it somewhere along the line. We feel the sting of the walk that we're in, of this natural life as well as spiritual life. And he's saying, I shall not want. What is our wants today? Is the great shepherd meeting them? Or am I still wanting? Am I still needy? Well, I have to confess, I'm still needy. I have to confess that. There's times I'm more needy than others. But, you know, I've got to come to the place where I shall not. See, it's definite, isn't it? He's affirming, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he is my shepherd. And here's what he does. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, I belong to a farm that had over 400 sheep, both naturally and spiritually. And so I know what it's like to look after both. And the natural sheep give you tremendous types and shadows as you watch them. But he said he makes us to lie down. See, if we won't lie down, he's going to make us. Because he's got something to say to you. And you know, when you see a bunch of sheep, and they're running in the field, and the shepherds come into the field, he'll pull out one to bring the sheep to calmness, and he makes it sit under his hand at his feet to feed. And you know, sheep are so curious, Gwen. They all want to know what's happening to this sheep that's not happening to me. And they all come around because the shepherd, he'll stop your tracks. He'll stop you dead in your tracks when he wants to talk to you. And he'll use anything to do that. He wants our attention. In an hour such as this, we need to know the voice of God like we've never known him before. Because he says, my sheep, they know my voice. You ever come to a place somewhere you say, Lord, I don't know what you're saying. But that's not what he's saying to you and me. He's saying, I want you to know what I'm saying. But you're going to have to lie down. You're going to have to stop and get off the track. You know, God said that to us in Australia once. Bobby felt that God was taking us out. The elders felt, no, it wasn't the Lord. And we listened to, unfortunately, the voice of the many instead of listening to the voice of the one. And Bobby said to the Lord, well, how do I get off of this? And the Lord said, I'll show you. And it all finished. In a week, it was all over. In a week, a work of 20 years was over. Because God had said to Bobby one thing, and Bobby listened to the multitude rather than to the voice of God. So he takes that responsibility. has repented many times because he knows what it's like to disobey God. But God's so good because it's his rod and his staff that comforts us. We don't like the staff, do we? Well, we really do, because that pulls us into his bosom. But the rod, we'd rather not have the rod. But sometimes he has to use the rod upon us. And so we've got to get to the place where we alone are trusting in the Lord. He says he makes me to lie down in green pastures. How's your pastures today? Is your bed green? What does that bed mean? What does that bed mean to you? What does it mean to me? Is it producing life? The bed must produce life. Amen. The bed's holy. And it's to produce life within you and me that we might bring forth the life that's within us because of the intimacy and the relationship we have with Jesus Christ, no matter the situation or circumstances. And some of them are nasty. Some of them are not good. But God said, I am your shepherd and I'll cause you to lie down in green pastures. Is my life fertile today? Am I bringing forth that life that I've laid in down my life for now? I hope that's what we're doing. To produce the life of Christ in fertility. So is your bed green today? Or are you wondering where he is in Song of Solomon? What was she doing? She was looking for him everywhere. And she couldn't find her beloved. Why not? She'd grown careless. And like Brother Bill said today, we can have been in this move for 45 years, like a lot of us. And we grow careless. Careless with the waiting. Careless with the troubles. Careless with the trials. Careless with, is God in it or is God not in it? With our doubts and our fears. And God's saying, I am the good shepherd. I'm the chief shepherd if you'll only come to me. And that's where we fail many times. We're running hither and thither in our minds. If not to people, but in our minds. That uncaptivated place that wants to rule us with fear and every other thing that would take us out of that revelation of who my great shepherd and chief shepherd really is. Hallelujah. And he says, he leads me beside the still waters. You know, when you watch a flock of sheep and they come to raging waters, and in Australia we have great droughts, and so water's very, very precious. And our sheep get very thirsty. But you know, you can take a sheep or a flock of sheep to a raging river, and they are so dry, but you know they won't drink. They will not go in that water. Why? What do they have on them? Wool. What happens when the wool gets wet? I've saw that many a time when the shearers haven't got to the sheep in time and we see our sheep lying upside down because of the weight of the wool. You know, they can't right themselves. So what the shepherd has to do in the eastern countries, he has to go into that river and make a dam where the rocks are in the water. And as he does, then the sheep will come in and drink because they trust the great shepherd. Have you been in a trial like that where it's overflowing, the river's just raging? And you're saying, Lord, I want to come. And he's saying, come on. And you're saying, I can't. It's too fast. It's too much trial. There's too much pain. There's too much anxiety. Nothing in my family's working. And he's saying, come on in. I've made it a river, a still river. And he says, I'm going to cause you, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, to be bestowed still waters. How's your waters today? Are they still? Are you longing to jump in to that relationship that he has for you? You know, he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so even when the waters are raging, you ain't going to drown because the good shepherd's there, the chief shepherd. But I've got to trust the shepherd. You know, the sheep have to trust him for his food, for their water, and for their comfort. In Australia, we have a fly called the blowfly. And the shepherd, our acreage might be 60 miles by 60 miles in Australia. That's a station. we call them, not farm stations. And he's got to go and ride the fence and watch out for his flock. But if he's careless and he misses a day or two, these blowflies are never going to miss a day. So they come to the sheep, to their dag, and they come and they land on them, and they blow them. Their maggots are blown into the wool. Now, they look okay on the outside, but when you open the fleece, he's been eaten alive by maggots. And one day you'll go into the paddock, and all you'll find is a bunch of wool, for the sheep is no longer. And so you see, he's the chief shepherd. He's going to watch you and you, me, to make sure that sin finds no place to attack us and eat us. Sin will destroy us. Sin will devour the life of Christ that's in you, whether you want it to or not. It'll go where you don't want it to go, if you give an inch. And if these shepherds are not faithful, they're going to lose their flock. It's a terrible thing to see a sheep being eaten alive. Have you ever seen it in the spirit? I have. Lives that are being eaten alive with bitterness, unforgiveness, no love expounded to others. Everything they see, they're negative and they're arguing about it and cross about it. You ever been there? I have. Where I've been disappointed, or somebody's let me down, or I never thought they would have done that to me. Why me, God? I've said that a lot in my life too. Why me? But you see, I've got to get rid of all of that. That's maggots eating into your spirit. It's going to destroy you. Many of the body of Christ are in that place where destruction, you look at them and you think, where's the joy of the Lord? Where's the peace of God? Where's the righteousness of God? Where's the love for the body of Christ? Where's the compassion and the mercy for those that are without the city? Have you got compassion for those that are without the city? Oh, well, we don't go there. Oh, yes, we do. If you love the great shepherd, you'll have a heart for sheep anywhere. And your heart will melt for them that they're without the chief shepherd who is the joy of our life. Don't you think he wants them also that he died for? And yet don't know him in the fullness of his love. Where are they going to see this love? Where did you see the love? I saw it in a saint of God. I didn't even know she was a saint of God. But I saw a life that challenged me to say, you don't know this life. And because I saw love and compassion and mercy, you know, it turned me to Jesus. And I keep crying out, God, where I'm still hard-hearted, touch these places and make them pliable in your hand. Don't become off-handed with people. Don't forget to put your hand out daily and say, how are you doing? Is things going well? Don't be put off, oh, I'm all right, when you know very well by the Spirit they're not. The great shepherd wants you to be a shepherd into their life, to bring his reality to them. You know, many times we just pass by and we hardly see one another. You know, I've been living in this community. I've always, and Isabel will verify this, I've always thought if I'm ever going to go anywhere, I would like to come to Shepherd's Inn. That's the truth. We don't have anything like this in the States, at this type of life, living. And I love it because I can look out the window and see the saints walking around. I can come to midweek meetings. I can come and eat together. I can lift up the phone and say, how are you today? You want to come over for a cuppa? Do you do that? Do you do it? Loneliness is the greatest thing in this world that people die from. Loneliness, and even in the kingdom of God, people are lonely. For fellowship. They don't want to do anything for you. They just want you to come and have fellowship. To talk to you, to share what God's doing. To lift you up when you're feeling down. to give you encouragement that the good shepherd's in our midst and that we love one another. We had a visit the other day there from one of our sisters, and it was wonderful. We just sat and yacked and praised the Lord and talked about the good things of God. You know, you don't have to get into a gossip session. You don't have to talk about anybody. Just talk about the Lord and you'll be fulfilling all the law. Amen. God wants us to come into true union, not because I live across the road, but because we're in union with one another. And I see the love of God in you. I feel it and I sense it. And I look at you all and there's a special place in my heart for each and every one of you. We don't see you often, but oh boy, we pray for you often. The Lord keeps us awake at night, praying for the communities in the area, praying for in America. And that's the truth. That's what we're good for in our old age, prayer. And it's a good thing. It keeps us alert and on our toes because we know how busy everybody can get. And here have we got time in our hands. When it first came to me and I had to sit in a chair for 3 years, I thought, my God, my life is over. And the Lord said to me, Kathy, it's just beginning. And I said, how can you say that, Lord? He says, because I'm going to make you an intercessor for them that are without. And that's what we've got to be. Find our role in God and fulfill it and not think we've missed. Oh, well, I'm not behind a pulpit. Who cares if you're ever behind a pulpit? As long as you're serving God and being a shepherd to others, and encouragement comes from the great shepherd to make you a shepherd of the sheep. Because that's what we are to one another. We're shepherds. Hallelujah. And he says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name. It's all about him. It's his name. And we carry the name of the Lord within us. And he's saying, I'm doing this for my name's sake. That he's going to have a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Do you believe it today? That you're going to be perfect in God one day? Totally righteous in him. It blows your mind, but that's what the Word of God says. And what do I believe? Do I believe my feelings, my circumstances? I didn't feel too righteous last week. I just said, Lord, just wave the flag and I'll be home. But he doesn't do that according to our will. It's got to be according to his will. But we've got to get into that place where we'll come to that place that he's restoring for his name's sake. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Is that your testimony? That we won't fear evil? See, God's put his power in you and in me to resist the powers of evil. And evil has no place in you unless you allow it in your mind. When the enemy will speak, do you allow him? Do you allow him access when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death? When you're dying to something or someone, are you in that shadow without fear? Because that's where we've got to come to, beloved. I remember when I was lying in the hospital with my heart operation, and Bobby said to me, as he was leaving me at the door, he said, are we ready for this? I was too drunk to laugh, but I said to him, well, all I know is I'm in the sea of tranquility. Hallelujah. Now, I ain't a person that lives in the sea of tranquility too often. When I'm doing all right, I'm quite feisty. I like the fire to burn in my bones. And I don't want to shut up until I'm shut up by God, because he'll put the last nail in the coffin. And he'll be the one that will say it's time for rest. But now we've got to keep crying out, God, put a fire in my bones no matter what. That I'll be a fire and a flame for God. That I won't sit in a pew. When we get saved, that was the thing. We said, God, I never want to sit in a pew. Ever. I want to be active for God. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know there was going to be a fire in my bones burning. No matter what the circumstances, he puts that fire in there to lift you out of yourself and to give you a will and to give you a purpose in life. Do you know how many blessed people are living without purpose right in this room today? No purpose. no direction, no guidance by the chief shepherd, because they're afraid to go and talk to him in case it's going to cost them. It ain't going to cost you anything but your life. Why would we hold on to this thing? It's dying from the day it was born. All we can do is assist it to die a bit faster. Hallelujah. By just saying, yes, Lord, you're the chief shepherd. And I want to follow hard after thee. Hallelujah. You know, sheep, as I said before, are very foolish creatures. You ever felt yourself foolish? Running hither and thither? You know, in a paddock, if you watch the sheep, a paper bag just has to blow and they all take off. The sun just has to go, the cloud just has to go over the sun and they're all running like crazy. Hey, that's our picture. Yeah, the church. The least wind the doctrine comes up the pipeline, they're all running. Oh, it's going to be KY2, I think they called it. We're all storing up for that time when we'll have nothing to eat. Hundreds and thousands of dollars have been spent to feed our bellies when there's no food. Where's the great shepherd? Where's our provision? I don't say we don't prepare, but we don't go flying all over the place, believing this thing, believing that, down that pipe, up this pipe. What way is the water flowing today? What wind's blowing? We're all running around like crazy people. Instead of standing still in God and being still at his feet and saying, God, direct our path and lead us by the still waters. Don't get into the raging waters, beloved. They'll confuse your mind and you'll be silly sheep. Wherever you wind the doctrine, it comes. You know, some of us don't even believe or really know. Do we believe in a rapture? Do we not believe in a rapture? Do we believe we're going into streets of gold? I hear such ridiculous comments. Oh, when we get over there, what we'll be doing and we'll be... And I think, my God, where did they get that in the scriptures? Might be playing cards with granny. We might be keeping each other entertained. Is that your picture of the great shepherd? The chief shepherd? The lover of your soul? I'm going to go and play tiddlywinks? That's how silly the pipe dream really is. When you listen to yourself talk about your loved ones beyond the grave and what you're expecting and what you're going to be doing with them and how you're going... How do you know? Jesus never bothered to tell you. You know why? It's none of your business. Get on with the living here, he said. It's the now of God, not the future. It's now. God's interested in right now where you and I are. That we might know him whom to know is life eternal. And my source of life has been fed into me daily as I deliver and delight myself in God. How much time do you spend praising him? How much time do I spend worshipping at his footstool and calling him for what he is? Of all the spirit within us, giving him due worship and reverence. We're so busy, aren't we? We can go through the day and think, oh, did I praise the Lord today? Oh, well, I said a quick. Or did I sit at his feet? I don't care if it's the morning, the afternoon, or the night, or through the night, but did you sit at his feet yesterday and contemplate on the great shepherd and what he's doing for you, how he's providing, how he's giving, how we've got roofs over our heads, food's in our belly. Everything is so wonderful. And he's getting us ready for that great transition of day that we'll be in all things giving thanks to the goodness and the greatness of God. I need to finish up. I'm nearly finished. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, they protect me. And here he is preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He's preparing a table. What's on your table today? Is your provision there? Do you see the table of the Lord as a great provision? That no matter what, there's provision on that table. But I've got to know there is a table. Because it's in the presence of your enemies you're going to find the table. Not when the sky is blue and shining, when you have no need of the table. But what about when the enemy comes and things ain't going right as a youngie? And you're finding it hard to find your placement in life. Don't worry. Find the table. He'll show you your destiny. He'll direct your path. And he'll give you a route that nobody else can give. Not even mum and dad, as much as they love you. But the Holy One of Israel has prepared a table for you in the midst of your enemies. You've got to know where the table is. Because if you don't, you'll go running around like these foolish sheep. Thinking, no, maybe it's here. Maybe it's there. Or maybe I'll find it in this formula. Or maybe if I go to this people, there it will be. No, it's going to be between you and God. That's where the table is. Your relationship with Jesus. How is it today? How is your table? What do you need from the table today? Do you know where the table is? Are you familiar with the table? Do you know immediately when the enemy comes against you where you're going? I want to tell you where 95% of our time it goes to your mind. And you argue all and you put it all through the mind. And my mother used to say to me, Kathy, you're crossing bridges before they're even there. And that's the truth. I'd have it all worked out in my mind. What I was going to say, how I was going to say it, how I would convince them, how I wouldn't convince them. And it all was as dung. We've got to get the mind of Christ. You've got to get to the table in the good days and the bad days. And you've got to partake of that table for your food every day for you and your family, brethren. For you and your family, you've got to go to that table every day. That's your tithe from the Lord, your family. That's your tithe and you have to look after it. But you've got to know a relationship and have a table experience that when you're in the wilderness, you know exactly where to run. When the enemies assail you, you know where to run. You know what food exactly is on that table because you've trusted in that table all through your life. And you know exactly where it is. How's your secret place? Where is your secret place? How often do you visit it? How often do you go? How often do you give him that place and that right to correct and to adjust? Or are you scared what he'll say to you? I've been scared sometimes. Because I've really not wanted to know any more about dying to self. I've had enough. He smiles at my foolishness. And he says, Kathy, we've got a bit of the journey still to walk. Are we going to walk hand in hand together? Or are you going to do it your own way and end in frustration and pain? How many are frustrated? Where is this life leading me? Am I still in fire? As we were challenged this morning. Are we still in fire? I never knew anything about the 5-year plan. I just knew that Jesus saved. I just knew he filled with the Holy Ghost and he wanted to make you a disciple of himself. That was all my knowledge. I thank God I never knew nothing else about all the 5-year plan. I have to get it all undone in my mind and keep referring to the 5-year plan. Hey, where am I now? Where am I going now? What do I see in the great shepherd now? And I'll finish here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Hey, you anoint my head with oil. Is your head anointed today? Is it running down? You know, even after you fleece a sheep, that sheep's fleece, correctly treated, has oil in it for the rest of its dead days. Lanolin is always in the wool. No matter how long it's been lying on your floor in the back of your chair, if it hasn't been treated chemically, it will always have oil in it. And he said, I'm here. And you're going to, head's going to run over. We're oil. The oil of gladness, the oil of joy, the oil of suffering, the oil of pain. It's all there. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. We're going to come to that place. No matter what, we'll be able to say, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Some of us have got a bit to go to be hoary-headed like us. And so we know the journey that's before you, and they'll all be different for everybody. But you're going to have to know him to get you through the dark places of the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, to take you to the other side where your cup's running over. Even although, Lord, I'm going through when I'm going through, my cup's running over. You said I'll never want if I'll just trust him. Hallelujah. And all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Are you living in the house of the Lord? Or do you think you're saved? Maybe I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I will be saved. One and on it goes. No, I shall. This is what I love about this psalm. It's so definite. David was a man just like you and me. He made all the mistakes there was to make. And God called him a man after his own heart. Why? Because he had fellowship and a relationship with his Father. God's going to bring you into the house of the Lord forever and forever. I don't hope. I am going to see him face to face. Hallelujah. I have no other aspiration in my heart. And I, like David, won't be satisfied until we awake in his likeness. Hallelujah. Do I look like him yet? I look in the mirror sometimes and say, oh God, where's the hope? I'm a basket case. I'm hopeless. I've let you down again, Lord. And you'll say, oh, Kathy, come on and sit beside the still waters. Let's talk a little. Let's talk a little bit about Jesus. Let's get into the plane where he lives instead of living where I live. He is who he is. He's a great shepherd. He never failed. I don't know whatever doctrine you heard he did. He never. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he will ever be the head forever and ever. Hallelujah. And that's sealed. Yes. Amen forever. Yes. My blood used to boil. And I say, oh God, keep my mouth shut. Jesus is Lord. Yes. He is King. He's Almighty God. And when you know him in this aspect, you'll only want to be his feet to worship, to adore him, and to crown him Lord of Lords. He's worthy. Yes. Cast your crowns before him. Declare him now before it's too late. It'll be too late to throw down your crowns. He'll say, I never knew you, because you didn't know how to throw them down, as I gave you life, and I gave you life, and I gave you life, that you might display my glory. Oh, beloved, he loves you. He wants to encourage you above where you're at. This is not doom and gloom. This is joy and peace forever. Why is our countenances down? Why are they sad? Why do I have to look somber? In my old days, they wore buns in their hair. They wore buns in their hair and skirts to the floor. And they were holy. And we believed that. We took off our makeup. We took off our nail varnish. I'm not saying what else we took off. But we did. To get holy and right with God. To be in right standing with God. And God laughs at the foolishness of the sheep. Because without the chief shepherd and the great shepherd, You can't do a thing. All you can do is yield. Give yourself wholly to him. Build a relationship, young people. Build a relationship, because you know what? It's going to keep you in your old age. And you'll be saying, right, sitting there, I'm never going to get old. If you'd ever told me I'd be 79, I'd laugh in your face. And there's people older than me here. I'm one of the youngies. No, just laughing. Just joking. I can do that in the house of God when I'm loved. And I love you with the love of the Lord. And I thank God for every one of you. And I know the valleys and the testings have been great. But you know he's bringing us through. He's bringing me through my deepest valley. And he's going to take us over and into the next stage of a life. And all I want to do is have a relationship to know my next move in God. Bobby and I are seeking God for placement. So you can be praying. We don't know where God's taking us. Canton, Ohio, the farm is going to be closing eventually. And we live in the big farm there. We rent an apartment there. We don't know what's going to happen, but we'll be there until it closes. Whether it's a year or five, I don't know what it's going to be. It might be the 5-year plan. But we'll be there. And God has it in a Pammy's hand. But we do appreciate your prayers, Bobby and I. We feel very loved by this family. You've supported us over the years, Sister Betty. Sue, thank you. For your family out there that supported us so well. Many a time when we were desperate, here would come a wee envelope. And I would say, oh, Jesus, your sheep do hear your voice. And I've got others I could point to today who've sent us gifts and said just a wee love token from the Lord. And I just thought, only the good shepherd could know that. For 3 years, Bobby had to stay with me and get me well. But God, you know, when we did our taxes, this is private, but when we did our taxes, where did it come from? This year we didn't have to pay any taxes. We beat the tax man for the first time in all these years. But you know, he prepares the table. And it's always full of all the good pleasures of God. And we've never suffered one iota, still dressed. Still got heels on my feet. When you know I'm down, they'll be gone. When it's all over, these shoes will be gone. No more heels. I've held on to them, Sister Marilyn. God is good.
Yes, He is.
You're blessed of the Lord. And I look at you today, I just see precious flowers. And when I was the singing and the praising the Lord was going on and the throwing the Lord was going up, I just saw lots of children and then lots of people, and they were throwing and strewing the streets with petals out of these baskets, and the Lord was following and walking on our gift of praise and worship. And it was beautiful. I just wanted to shout out. And I thought, but if I shout out, I'll not have any voice at all. But that's what I saw. I saw the little children with their baskets. And then I saw those adults coming, throwing out all the petals as he was going to walk on top, that the aroma might be a sweet-smelling savour in his nostrils. Are you a sweet-smelling savour this morning? Are you being crushed to bring out the fragrance of Almighty God? Because it's for his glory, not for another Eric. It's for him. And he's squeezed you tight, my brother. But it's for his glory that your fragrance might anoint the whole house. Yes, hallelujah. So keep on keeping on. Keep loving. Keep giving. Keep sharing. Keep bringing forth that alabaster box and break it to one another, that aroma might fill the whole house. Oh.